makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee and Tenderleaf Tea present Edgar Bergen, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Dale Evans, The Sportsman, our guests, Broadway's Victor Moore and Billy Gaxton, Hollywood's Ronald Coleman, and Charlie McCarthy.
May I do it, Bergen?
May you do what?
Introduce Ronald Coleman. You know, it should be done with dignity and a savoir-faire.
So?
So I'll do it, I see.
All right, go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, it behooves me, as I've never been behooven before.
That's not right.
No, I'll start over. Ladies and gentlemen, a feeling of pride swells up within my happy vest. That's not right either. Well, anyway, here he is, my pal, Mr. Ronald Coleman.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Charlie. Tell me, do you know the important requisites for winning a war?
Well, I heard of a general who said the idea is to get there fastest with the mostest.
Well, that's about right. But the three things needed to get us there fastest with the mostest are manpower, munitions, and food.
Food?
Yes, Charlie. Food for millions of men and women who are fighting and working on the battlefront and on the home front. You see, Charlie, many experienced farm workers are now in the armed forces or war plants, and those who are left on the farms need help and lots of it. This year, we must and will have the biggest food crop in the history of the nation. Our government will ask all of us, wherever and whenever we can, to help bring in and process this food crop. We'll be asked to do part-time work on farms or in food processing plants, on weekends or one or two days a week, or for definite 2 or 3 week periods if we can. And in return for whatever we do, we'll be paid prevailing wages. It may be a healthful and profitable way to spend our summer vacations. Soon, in every community in the United States, there will be a recruiting drive for volunteers for the United States Crop Corps. When the call comes in your community, do your part.
How true, Mr. Coleman, how true. In other words, folks ought to raise vegetables instead of raising objections.
That's quite right, Charlie.
Remember, this year, as you sow, so shall you eat.
Huh? That's very good, Charlie, but we need more than slogans. And while you're on the subject, I'd like to see a little more of you out on my ranch during your vacation this summer.
Yeah?
There's plenty of work there to do.
Yes. Well, I was there last weekend.
Yes, you were, but what did you do?
Have you seen your tractor?
Well, what about it?
Well, he'll be ready next Thursday. It will. I didn't know those darn things would climb trees.
And what were you doing with the tractor, Charlie?
Well, you know that acre behind the corn crib?
Yes.
Well, I decided to cultivate it.
Oh, then you really are a farmer.
Oh, sure. That's me. I'm the man with the hole. Hi-ho, McCarthy, that's me.
Are you taking care of the whole acre yourself?
No, Mortimer's helping me.
Oh, Mortimer.
Yes, we're gentlemen farmers.
Oh, I see. Gentlemen farmers.
Yes. I'm the gentleman, Mortimer's the farmer.
That's just what I thought. Well, at least Mortimer isn't afraid of work.
Yeah. I suppose you hoped some of that would splash on me.
Yes, I do. I hope you're not letting Mortimer do all the work.
No, I'm not. I wish you could have seen him the other day. We were plowing the field.
I see.
And Mortimer was pulling the plow.
That's fine.
Yes. And I was pushing it, though. I did my bit.
I see.
I was pushing and sweating and pushing.
Yeah. Well, did you get much work done?
Yes, we did. Mm-hmm. But funniest thing happened, you know. Every time Mortimer stopped to rest,
yeah,
I plowed him under.
Oh, now.
Oh, it's so embarrassing.
Yes. Well, now, what are you growing, Charlie?
Well, right now, our principal crop is potatoes.
Oh, I see, potatoes.
Mm-hmm. We plant them now and dig them later.
How are your potatoes coming along?
Well, so far, they've been going direct to the consumer.
I see. The bugs. Oh, I see.
So, you're troubled with bugs?
Well, not personally.
No, I...
But the potatoes are.
The potatoes are.
Yes. I sure wish there was a market for potato bugs.
A market for potato bugs.
Yeah, I'd make a mess of money then.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
Charlie, if you're a farmer...
Yeah?
I am a monkey's uncle.
Well, I won't argue that with you.
Oh, well, Charlie.
Well, Martin, they're snared. My old sharecropper.
Yeah. Come on in, Mortimer.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah, come on.
No. Oh. Old Nick Snurdy had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. Hello, Mr. Bergen.
Hello there, Mortimer. Charlie tells me that you're helping him out on the ranch.
Yeah. I'm a big butter and eggplant man.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'm showing him how to rotate his crops.
I see. Well, that's fine.
Yeah, that's right. That's fine, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what are you going...
Duh.
What are you going to plant first?
Well, there's a...
I say, what are you going to plant first?
Well, we're going to plant, seeds.
Seeds?
Yeah.
Yes, I know. But what kind? What kind?
Well, little tiny little ones, you know.
Yeah. I know, but what crops are you going to raise?
Oh, what kind of crops? Yeah, well, of course, that all depends on, you know.
Depends on what?
Well, on what kind of seeds are planted.
Well, I asked you a very simple question, and all I want is a simple answer.
Well, I'm the guy that can give it to you.
Yes. Tell me, what are you going to grow?
Well, I think I'm going to grow some dog plants.
Dog plants?
Yeah, dog plants. Yeah, they're very nice, dog plants.
Dog plants?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
What do you mean?
Cauliflowers. Oh! I got you on that one.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. All right.
Yeah.
Cauliflower, pretty good.
All right, all right.
You know, Mr. Bergen, that apple tree you got?
Yes, I know the apple tree.
Well, I made some cider.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
You made cider?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Hard?
No. Just squeeze the apples and there it is.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's fine. You, Mortimer, you are undoubtedly as stupid a person as I've ever talked to.
Well, that's, you got,
Yeah. I say you're as stupid a person as I've ever talked to.
Oh, you're just saying that to make me feel good.
These times keep all of us on our toes to do our jobs better than ever. And that makes good coffee doubly important. Every cup has to ring the bell. Yes, the times have brought coffee new added importance. It has to be good now. You haven't the time or the money to waste on anything second rate. So get Chase and Sanborn. It's a double duty coffee, a blend made to serve in these times. Now, while the shortage exists and rationing is necessary, quality is more important than ever. And quality in coffee means flavor. Every cup should be so delicious, it makes up for those you miss. More than that, the boost you look for in coffee, the lift that helps you get things done, goes hand in hand with finer flavor. It's part of the deep down whole soul satisfaction of Chase and Sanborn coffee. Now, you want all the flavor you can get. So get all the flavor you can. Every time you part with a precious ration coupon, make sure that it brings you full flavor value, a pound of Chase and Sanborn. Use it carefully, of course. It's much too good to waste. And if you have any on hand, use that up before buying more. But then when you do buy, Remember, the Chase and Sanborn we're making today is the richest blend in our history. Ask for Chase and Sanborn coffee every time.
Down through the years, in such shows as Of Thee I Sing, Anything Goes, and Louisiana Purchase, Victor Moore and Billy Gaxton have been the brightest lights of the Broadway musical comedy stage. It's a strange Broadway season that doesn't include them, but it happens that both are in Hollywood for cinema purposes. Victor for Riding High at Paramount, and Billy for MGM's Best Foot Forward. But they're together again to show us their conception of what a draft board isn't, but might be. Victor Moore and Billy Gaxton.
Hello, hello. Local draft board number 1804, swing and sway in class 1A. Chairman Gaxton speaking. What's that, madam? Oh, we're very sorry. It must be an error. No, we can't induct a woman when she's going to have a baby. No, it would be unthinkable. Take a 3-day furlough and report to Fort MacArthur on Monday. Come in.
How do you do?
How do you do? Come right in.
Is this the draft board?
Well, we like to refer to it as the GI Travel Bureau. Now, what do you want?
Well, you got to help me. One of my key men is going to be drafted right out of my defense plant.
Oh, you run a defense plant? What is it?
It's the Victor Moore Collapsible Girdle Corporation.
Since when are collapsible girdles an essential industry?
Well, right now we're working on a big government contract. We're making the Victory Girdle.
Ah, the Victory Girdle.
Yes, it takes the waves out of the wax. Ah. Now, this fellow who's going to be drafted, Homer Potts.
Yes?
We couldn't do without him. He's been in the girdle business for 25 years.
It's quite a stretch. I'm not interested in Homer Potts. I'm interested in you.
Me?
Yes. I knew you were a suspicious character the minute you walked in here. I'll bet you never even registered. I'm going to look up your record in our files.
But I just came here because
now,
I
you may be an Axis spy.
I only want to keep on making girdles.
Yes, there's probably something you wouldn't stoop to.
Yeah, I make the kind with the garters in them.
Yes, you'll probably blow up the whole city.
Well, I'm a very tough customer, aren't
now, wait a minute, now, wait a minute now. I'll find your draft specification card here. Let me see. Montrose, Moody, Moon.
That's not far enough.
All right. Mooney, Morse, Monkey.
That's going too far.
Ah, here it is. Here it is. Moore. Victor Moore. 1A.
Oh, that can't be me.
Oh, yes, it is. Aren't you Victor?
Looks like I'm loser. There must be some mistake. Are you sure you didn't make a mistake?
Ah, now, this draft board never makes a mistake. And when we do, it's too late to complain.
But aren't grandchildren an exemption?
Children are an exemption. The law doesn't say anything about grandchildren.
Now, wait a minute. I thought you didn't want men over 38.
Well, how old are you?
Well...
Now, come on, I don't lie. Now, come on, now. Hurry up, now. Tell me the truth.
I'm over 38.
Over 38, huh? Where's your birth certificate?
Well, to tell the truth, I had it so long it just turned to dust.
Oh, turn to dust, destroying the evidence, huh? I can get you 20 years for that.
Well, it's all very confusing. I don't see how the Army can take me now. You know, I tried to enlist last year.
You did, huh? Well, what happened?
I guess I got in the wrong line. I was classified 99F in the campfire girls.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, when did you go down to take your physical?
I was too weak to go down and take it. Mm-hmm. The physical came up and took me. At that, I was almost taken into the Army on account of bad eyes.
Oh, You had bad eyes and they almost took you?
No, the doctor had bad eyes and almost took me. Oh.
All right, Mr. Moore. Now I'm going to be fair and square about the whole thing. I'll give you another examination.
That's very nice of you.
And then we'll send you right down to the induction center. First, I'll give you a blood test.
Oh, I had one of those the last time. The doctor took some blood out of me.
Oh, he did, huh? And then what did he do with it?
How should I know? I didn't remember a thing until he put it back. Oh.
All right now. Then we'll just overlook your blood. Now, let me see. We'll test your eyesight. Now, here. You hold this piece of cardboard over your right eye.
All right.
And you hold this piece of cardboard over your left eye. Yeah. Have you got that?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Now, you take the first piece of cardboard away from your eye.
There.
All right. Peek-a-boo.
Peek-a-boo.
Wait a minute. Now, you turn right around. I want to see how you're going to look in a uniform. Say, you'll have to take off... you'll have to take off some of that weight. You're a little corpulent.
Is that higher than a lieutenant?
Higher than a lieutenant. Oh, a wise guy, huh?
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just not myself today. I'm very jumpy.
Oh, jumpy, huh? Fine. Then we'll put you in the paratroops.
Well, I hope you realize what you're doing.
Why, what do you mean?
By taking me into the army, you're closing down my girdle business. And if you take away girdles, you'll shake the very foundation of American womanhood.
Money!
A kiss may be just a kiss, but a song isn't just a song as Dale Evans and Ray Noble do it. Here it is, As Time Goes By.
You must remember this, a kiss is still a kiss, and a sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply. Time goes by.
Time goes by.
And when two lovers woo, they still say I love you. On that you can rely. No matter what the future brings, as time goes by.
As time goes by.
Light and love songs, never out of date. Hearts full of passion, jealousy and hate. Woman needs man, and man must have his mate. That no one can deny. It's just the same old story, a fight for love and glory, a case of do or die. As time goes by. Moonlight and love songs, never out of date. Hearts full of passion, jealousy and hate. Woman needs man,
and man must have his mate.
That no one
the world.
The world will welcome lovers as time goes by.
There's a new high standard of usefulness applied to purchases these days. For every penny spent, we expect return in real utility. Now, that's one big reason for the overwhelming preference for Tenderleaf brand tea balls. They outsell every other kind because they serve so well. They've become the accepted modern way to serve tea because they're so much finer. Now, the tea itself is Tenderleaf brand, which comes in packages too, bringing you the fragrant, delicious goodness of the small, young top tea leaves. Now, if you could pick your own tea right from the growing plant, you'd never take the old, overgrown leaves. You'd choose the little ones near the ends of the branches where the finer flavor grows. So get that flavor in improved Tenderleaf brand tea balls. They're made with tasteless filter paper, another big step forward, another reason for their record-breaking popularity. Right now, with so many people buying them, your grocer may sometimes sell out. In that case, we hope you'll understand and cooperate in fairness to your neighbor, your grocer, and all. Next time, you'll be lucky. At any rate, always ask for Tenderleaf brand tea in packages or for Tenderleaf brand tea balls.
Whom did you say? You did say whom? Oh, so that's whom. How utterly humorous, huh?
Charlie, what are you doing?
Well, with Ronald Coleman here today, I have to watch my diction.
Oh, I see.
Yes, that's whom.
Yes. Well, that's very fine. I'm glad to hear you pattern your speech after Mr. Coleman's.
Well, now you just watch me. I'm going to out Coleman Coleman.
Oh, you are?
Yes. Pewter. Laughter. Ha, 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 ha.
Quite, Charlie. Here comes Mr. Coleman. Hello, Ronnie.
Hello, Edgar. It's good to see you boys having fun.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not intruding.
Oh, no, Mr. Coleman, no. You know, we've got secrets, uh-huh. You know, how it is.
Of course. Yeah. You know, Edgar, I admire the fine friendship that exists between you and Charlie. There's such deep loyalty and understanding.
Yes, I feel very fortunate in having Charlie as a friend.
Yes, it's something to be treasured, isn't it? Remember, friendships must be kept in constant repair. They're so fragile.
Fragile.
He said fragile. Yes, all right, all right.
How true. How gloriously true, Mr. Coleman. There's nothing more fragile than friendships.
Yipes!
Ronnie, I think I should tell you that Charlie is a great admirer of yours.
Well, thank you, Charlie.
I've seen all your pictures, except that one about farming.
About farming?
Yes, the rundown harvest.
Random harvest.
Yes, that's still one.
You know, Ronnie, those scenes between you and Greer Garson were unforgettable.
Well, that's very nice of you, Edgar.
Is Greer Garson in it, too?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Wow. What? I mean is she really?
do you like Greer Garson, Charlie?
Oh, yeah, I'll say. I think she's a...
I see what you mean, yes.
Of course, you know Miss Garson better than I do. What do you think of her?
Well, confidentially, Charlie, I think she's...
You too? You know, Mr. Coleman, I would have seen that picture before now, but Bergen wants me to wait until it comes to our neighborhood.
Oh, what neighborhood is that?
The neighborhood of 15 cents.
You know, that neighborhood is kind to a boy's allowance.
Yes, yes. And mine doesn't take much kicking around. Do you know what I get a week?
No,
I get it's a measly 70... But
Charlie, please. We're not interested in what you get.
No. Well, in case you do, it's 75 cents a week.
Well, Charlie, you know, I sympathize with your budget problem. And I've got an idea.
You have? What?
How would you like to have me tell you the story of Random Harvest?
Oh, boy, that would be super.
And I, for one, would enjoy hearing you tell it.
Well,
And it would save me 15 cents.
No. If you don't go to the theater, I don't give you the 15 cents.
Well, now, wait a minute. If he tells me the story, that's another thing, isn't it? But I'll let you listen to it, too,
now
for
listen.
15 cents.
I'll settle.
If you don't go, I don't
care.
Well,
one moment, please. I'll settle the argument, fella.
Yes.
Now, listen. I tell the story.
That's right. Yes.
And you give me the 15 cents.
That isn't the argument. That didn't work out so good, did it? No, you're driving a hard bargain, Mr. Cole. No. How about 10 cents, huh?
Well, I could do it, but you wouldn't like it.
I wouldn't. All right, then. Make it 15 cents. All right. Mm-hmm. But give us the full treatment now.
I'll give it everything I've got. For 15 cents.
Shoot. Curtain.
Well, you see, the story opens.
It does, huh?
Well, naturally. It's a necessity.
Well, I can see your point, yes.
Will you let Mr. Coleman tell the story?
Oh, excuse me.
All right, now. As the picture opens, I'm suffering from amnesia.
Oh, am you? He means he doesn't remember anything.
That's right. Okay. I'm, shall we say, not quite normal.
Oh, I see. In other words, you are, shall we say, nuts.
Yes, that's right, Charlie. It's my mind is in escrow.
Yeah.
Well, now, there are three things I can't remember.
Yeah?
I can't remember my name, and I can't remember my address.
What's the third?
I can't remember.
Oh. Yeah. Well, where does Greer Garson come into
Well, Miss Garson befriends me. We fall in love and marry and go to live in a little cottage with a squeaky gate. Now, doesn't that sound romantic?
Well, I don't know. I never lived with a squeaky gate. Unless you count Bergen.
Now, wait.
I'll hear more about that later.
Yeah. Continue with your story, Ron.
Well, we're gloriously happy in that little vine-covered cottage. Hours go into days. Days go into weeks. Weeks go into months.
Yes.
Months go into years. Yes. Years of glorious happiness.
All right.
Ah, how well I remember that little vine-covered cottage.
Please. Happy. Mr. Coleman, just tell it. Don't ham it up.
Well, I'm sorry. I must have been giving my 35-cent performance.
Well, anyway, what happens?
Well, I go to Liverpool.
Oh.
Only to be hit by a taxi.
Hardly seems worth the trip, does it?
You're quite right. I didn't even get his license.
Oh.
Now, where was I?
Well, you were getting hit by a liver pill in the taxi.
Well, you see, it was, it's quite a serious shock.
Yes,
I come to think, when I regain consciousness, I'm a different man.
Anyone we know?
No. What Mr. Coleman means is that the accident restores his memory of the past, but he forgets he has a wife.
Well, what happens to Miss Garson? Do you just forget about her?
Oh, no. Miss Garson becomes my secretary.
Now, wait a minute now. Here's where I trip you up. First, you say you forget her, don't you?
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, she is your secretary. How does that happen?
Well, now, that's a very good question, Charlie.
Right.
I'm glad you brought it up. Now, to go on with the story.
Yeah, what? Wait a minute.
Well, you see, Charlie, after Miss Garson becomes his secretary, he doesn't remember her. So they get married again.
Isn't that bigamy?
No.
Or is it trigonometry?
No.
No, you see, I merely marry the same girl twice.
Oh, I see. I guess you call that monotony.
Well, how do you like the story, Charlie?
Well, I think it has a very fine moral. I like that.
Well, and what moral is that?
Well, the moral is don't marry your secretary. She might turn out to be your wife.
Listen in next week for our special guest, Irene Dunne. This is Buddy Twist saying goodnight from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.